Paul the Apostle by Grace by Brother John Mitchell. Chapter 25. More Trouble. Encouraged by the favourable reception his letter to Corinth had received and Titus's confident return thither, Paul decided to stay on in the regions of Dalmatia and Illyricum, two uncertain geopolitical areas north of Greece, for the rest of the season so as to strengthen the ecclesias there. He travelled throughout that area, speaking many words of encouragement to the people. Then, with the onset of winter, he gathered his aides together and journeyed south to Corinth. Of Paul's reception when he took up residence again in the House of Justice, nothing is reported, though some have assumed that he dealt summarily with the unrepentant and with the principal troublemakers. But there's nothing of note regarding the state of things in the Corinthian ecclesia during his 3 month stay recorded. It seems only a velvet glove and not an iron fist was needed. In Paul's pilgrimage, however, things never went smoothly for very long. Either when he arrived in Corinth or shortly afterwards, news reached him, probably via Ephesus, that there was trouble brewing in the Galatian ecclesias on which he had bestowed so much loving care. The Judaizers had been at it again, this time with appalling consequences, in that they had persuaded a substantial number of brethren in Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and possibly in Pisidian Antioch, that they must be circumcised to enter into covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul wrote the Galatian ecclesias an emotional letter ranging from astonishment at their desertion of him and from the doctrine he had taught them to imprecations against the Jews who were trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned, wrote Paul, and then he repeated it to emphasise the gravity of the situation. That gospel was not something that man had made up. He had not received it from any man, and nor was he taught it. Rather, he had received it by revelation from Jesus Christ himself. Then Paul went over the history of how, by the grace of God, he was converted from a persecutor of God's ecclesia to become the preacher of Christ amongst the Gentiles, and was accepted as such by the very pillars of the faith in Jerusalem. James, Peter and John gave me the right hand of fellowship, said Paul. They saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. We, who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law, or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles amongst you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offence of the cross has been abolished. As for these agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and demasculate themselves. With such sentences as these, Paul showed both his horror at the way the gospel was being twisted and his anger against the Judaizers who were trying to compel the brethren to be circumcised so that they themselves might avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. As for the Gentile brethren who before had been so loyal, so loving and kind towards him, especially when he'd been ill amongst them, Paul both pleaded with them to support him again and gave them sound doctrinal teaching on the relationship between the promises made to Abraham and the temporary imposition of the law because of transgressions until Christ, the promised seed, should come. Now that faith in him had come, they were no longer under the supervision of the law. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery, wrote Paul. I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. Their freedom had been given them not to indulge the sinful nature, but rather to serve one another in love. The acts of that sinful nature were obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. Those who lived like that would not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit was love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there was no law. Paul's letter then ended on a personal note that was bound to evoke sympathy in the hearts and minds of those he'd converted. "See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand," he said, perhaps an allusion to his impaired vision, of which they were already well aware. "Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit, brothers. Amen."